This is BookCareers.com Live, the podcast about careers in book publishing for people who are looking for a job, building a career, or who want to do their current job better. I'm your host, Suzanne Collier, the founder of BookCareers.com, and it's my job to solve career problems relating to the book world. Hello and welcome to episode 119 of BookCareers.com Live. This week we're going to talk about management and what it is like managing staff for the first time. I'm joined today by Nancy Roberts of Umbrella Data.
Hello.
And Claire Griss-Taylor, publisher and agent.
Hello, thank you for having us.
Together, Nancy and Claire run a new organisation, Management in Publishing. Claire, let's start by asking you about what management in publishing is all about.
Well, basically, management in publishing is dedicated to supporting publishers with training and mentoring and coaching in management and leadership. The reason we do this is that although Nancy and I had long careers in publishing, we hadn't met until quite recently. But when we did meet, we realised that we had a lot in common. And some of the things, most of the things we had in common were around our experiences as managers and leaders in publishing. I think it's fair to say that when we first became managers, we were both thrown in at the deep end a bit with very little support. I'm not saying that anything went badly wrong on our watches, although Nancy might tell me otherwise. But it often felt a bit lonely and uncomfortable. And with hindsight, it would have been so much easier. And we both think we'd have been better managers much sooner if we just had a bit more guidance. And that's really our starting point for management in publishing. And that's why we believe so passionately that publishing needs to take the skill and practice of management much more seriously. So we started out back in 2018 with an introductory course for new managers with the Publishing Training Centre. And the business has really developed from there. These days, as well as running courses for PTC and ALPS, we also train in-house teams, run webinars, and offer one-to-one coaching and mentoring. The final thing I'd like to say really is that the publishing bit of management in publishing really matters too. There's a lot of management training out there, but we think being able to use our experience as publishers in the publishing world really makes a difference for the people we're working with. It really helps to ground the ideas we're teaching in real-world challenges and experience.
That's great. And I just must emphasise too that you're completely correct in what you say about the publishing aspect being so important to management, because I sit with the clients I work with on career guidance and those that have got work-related issues, that understanding the critical path and the publishing workflow is really integral to the kind of support and guidance I can give. And I'm assuming it's the same with your coaching and mentoring too.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Suzanne.
So Nancy and Claire, would you like to tell us all five things that you wish you knew when you were first time managers?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm going to kick off with our number one thing, which is that management is a skill like any other, but it's a different skill potentially from the ones that you might develop as you go through your career and you start to be an editor or a production person or a marketeer, whatever bit of the industry you're in. And often what we see in publishing is people get promoted up into management from being like maybe a really good editor or a really good salesperson, but there's no real recognition that actually management is something different. So, you know, the one thing I think we would like to say first and foremost is that management is a set of skills. It's different maybe from what you've done before, but you can learn it. Like anything else, you can get better at it. It takes practice and experience to do it really consistently and well, but there are things that you can do to help yourself on the way. So I think we'd say, you know, if you're an early career manager or you've just been promoted, give yourself time and space to think about being a manager, to sort of spend the time on it, to take it seriously. And don't just assume because you're really good at your operational job, you'll be a great manager sort of by default. You'll absolutely get there, but, you know, take the support and, you know, the resources that are offered to you to help you understand what's different about being a manager. So that's the first thing, I think. Claire, do you want to talk about our second thing?
Yes, the second thing we want to talk about is not rushing to action. So, you know, I think we're all seduced by the kind of US presidency in the first 100 days and you have to get something done immediately. And I think it's tempting when you first get your, you know, you get your first management role that you want to make things happen straight away, you know, to make a point to some immediate change or a quick win. but we'd really advise you not to try to do too much too soon. So if you're moving to another company, really take the time to get to know your colleagues, to understand that role, the team you'll be responsible for. This is a real time to keep your eyes and ears open, you know, observe, listen, and, you know, think very clearly as well about what you're not being told, you know, read that body language. Be curious, ask questions. I think it's important to stay open-minded and also to look for those opportunities to build trust and rapport with your new colleagues, really. So that might be being very clear when you communicate or making a commitment and following through, for example. So you're starting to build that kind of level, those kinds of levels of trust. I think if you've been promoted internally, there are a separate lot of challenges as well. So if you have been promoted internally, make sure that that change of role is signaled. You know, make sure that the proper announcements that you would see if you were an external candidate coming into the organization. And although you'll be familiar with the company, don't underestimate the change stepping up into management brings, even if you're in a familiar environment. You'll still need to feel your way a bit. And you'll probably have to reset some boundaries and be clear with colleagues about your new responsibilities. So all of this will take time. It might feel like you're not making a difference soon enough, but we think it's much better to ease your way in and build those relationships you'll need for the longer term. So that's our number two.
Yeah, absolutely. Number three, I think, speaks to something that both Claire and I are really passionate about, which is this, that a lot of times we think about management in terms of the sort of transactional side of it. So those tasks that you have to do for the first time, like maybe recruiting staff or setting budgets or planning resources to deliver workloads. So those kind of business aspects of management. And those are really important, there's no doubt. But what we think also needs to be much more recognised is that management is about working with and through other people. So you need that emotional intelligence to do that effectively. You need to understand difference, you need to understand what motivates people, you need to know yourself, and you need to use that emotional intelligence to get the best out of your team and enable them to thrive. So, you know, it's definitely important that you do all the important set piece things really well, like recruitment and appraisals and all those things. But don't forget that really fundamentally your job is now about people. So the more that you can understand them and the more that you can understand your relationship to them, the better that will go. The other thing to say about emotional intelligence, because it's a term which is often kind of misunderstood, is that being emotionally intelligent isn't about being popular or being nice. Although, of course, those are things that you'll want to try and achieve. But it's not a popularity contest being a manager. Sometimes being a manager involves not ducking the hard stuff and, you know, asking the difficult questions and challenging people. So, you know, you might find yourself needing to kind of provide some course correction or deal with some performance issues in your team. And the best managers are the ones who recognize that, know that they have to take a stand on it, but do it with humanity and with emotional intelligence. So I think, you know, developing those skills early in your career is, again, something that if I'd spent more time on that, I would have found certain things much easier, I think. So definitely would say emotional intelligence is a key thing that can really help you to be a better manager.
I'd absolutely agree with that, Nancy. What we've learned from working with people in our training sessions over the last few years is that management is much more about the soft skills, the interpersonal stuff that underpins everything else that we do as managers, which brings us neatly to our fourth tip, which is about self-awareness, which really is the foundation for emotional intelligence more generally. I guess what we mean by that is that we need to understand ourselves before we can understand, influence, and inspire others. And obviously that's important for all business relationships, but it's especially important when we have a management relationship with people. And self-awareness is really about two things too. It's about knowing ourselves, our own preferences and our strengths and weaknesses, but it's also understanding the impact we have on other people too. And again, that's going to be amplified when we have a management relationship with somebody. Being more self-aware also helps us to understand that not everyone's like us, not everyone's like you. We all bring our own personalities and preferences to work, and that can make management feel a bit messy at times because it's about humans and it's about emotion. The key really is to understand what makes you tick, what Nancy calls your secret sauce, which is a phrase I love, while recognizing that you may need to flex and at your style and preferences in certain situations. You know, and I think we've seen that quite recently with the pandemic and everybody working from home, where maybe we've had to change from our sort of more natural management style to something that's slightly different depending on the situation that we're working with. And I think it's also important to remember that other people may not approach their work in the same way that you do. But that's okay. You know, the key thing really is to focus on outcomes, not the process. As long as people get to the same result, that's okay. And I think, you know, being able to do that means that you will learn from them as well. Nancy and I, for example, are pretty different in lots of ways, but I've learned loads from working with her. And that's one of the reasons why we make a good team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've likewise learned a lot from Claire, which is a really nice thing. So to come to our sort of fifth tip or things we wish we'd known. I think this is perhaps, you know, one of the most fundamental of all for me.
Absolutely.
Is looking after yourself as a manager. Management can be quite lonely. You may have gone from a situation where you're working very closely with three or four colleagues and they may be very good friends of yours, and suddenly you find yourself in a position where you're responsible for them. They look to you for guidance. As Claire said, you might have to re-navigate some of those relationships. And you might also be privy to information that they don't know. And that can be a difficult thing to manage. And it can feel very lonely. So I think one thing I would definitely say is find a support network who understands that. And that could be other managers in your organization, or it could be managers across the industry, or it could be people outside of your business. But you need somewhere that you can go and kind of share some of that, those ideas and those challenges. And get some support, because you can't have the same relationship with everyone that you had before. So recognize that and make sure that you sort of put something in place. I think the other thing that we often note about early career managers is that they're very in the middle of the organization. We call it the squeezed middle, because you have a lot of demands from above. You have directors or business leaders setting targets and things that you have to deliver, but you've also got a team working underneath you, as it were, who also need your time and support and motivation and energy. And actually, those things can sometimes feel like they're in conflict. Do you satisfy your manager, or do you attend to your team? And, you know, those can be quite a difficult balance to strike. So I think really recognizing that management can be quite tough and it can be quite emotional and quite draining. I think the thing we would say is learn to look after yourself, learn to take a bit of time out if you need it. Learn to delegate. Often we see early career managers very reluctant to delegate because they feel like they're just dumping their work on someone more junior. But of course, delegation is about freeing up your time to do the things that you need. And it's also about giving your team opportunities to learn and develop. So of course, sometimes there'll be admin tasks that just need to get done. But look for how you can delegate things that would give people in your team an opportunity to develop as well. Perhaps they could attend a meeting on your behalf and get exposure to a different side of the business, for example. But yeah, I think it's really finding ways to kind of restore your energy, to recognize that having a team reporting to you can be quite draining. As Claire said, we all bring parts of ourselves to work, and sometimes you'll have to get involved in things that maybe are about people's situation outside of work as well as in work. And as I say, you may not have the support network that you had before, because you may be privy to confidential information. So think about how you can restore yourself, think about ways to just get a bit of headspace, step away from your desk for 10 minutes if you need to just reflect on a conversation that you need to have or you've just had, and recognize that that's a valuable use of your time. And I think, you know, we're all sort of very used to being very busy in publishing, and of course we are, but we're not very good at recognizing that sometimes taking 10 minutes out can be more productive than sitting at your desk for an hour battling a problem when your head's just not in the right space. So, you know, be protective of yourself, and that will enable you to be much, much better at kind of looking after your team and looking after all of their needs. Someone in one of our courses the other day said, it's that thing about, you know, putting on your own life mask on a plane before you help somebody else. You have to be fit and well to look after your team and mentally strong. And if you need to take a few minutes out to do that, or a bit of time out to do that, you really should do that, because it will repay in the long term. So, I mean, again, when Claire and I met, as she was alluding to earlier, there was kind of actually quite a huge relief in talking about some of these things and realizing that neither of us was alone. And that, you know, probably many people go through this and try to kind of take on all of the problems and solve them all themselves. And, you know, that's just not sustainable. You can do it for a while, but you can't do it forever.
It's almost like leaving at least 30 minutes between receiving a troublesome email and answering
absolutely. Or just trying to leave yourself 10 minutes between meetings. And that's really hard at the minute because everyone's at home. Absolutely. So people will tend to fill your diary. But, you know, if you've got a really difficult conversation to have or a challenging meeting to have, give yourself 10 minutes before and after it just to kind of clear your head, because it will be much more beneficial than rushing straight to the next meeting when you're still full of adrenaline.
I think it's all about encouraging people to give themselves permission to look after themselves, really, which is quite hard sometimes, I think. But as Nancy said, it'll repay in spades because if you look, you know, you cannot look after your team if you're not in the best form yourself.
Yeah, and that giving yourself space in between meetings, I think, is critical, because very often you come out of a meeting, you need to almost do a brain dump, not rely on the minutes, but actually make some notes of some of the action points that you need to do that are critical, that are not then going to be usurped by what you hear in the next meeting.
Yeah. And I think also as a manager, often there's two things going on in meetings. One is the sort of the task of the meeting, like we need to agree how we're going to do this project or how we're going to use this budget or whatever. And that's important. But as a manager, you're also needing to be aware of the relationships. And if there are people in your team there, do they look like they're comfortable and they know what they're doing, or do they need some support? So, you know, there's quite a lot of kind of internal processing to kind of balance both of those things that you're trying to do as a manager. And again, you know, as you say, Suzanne, taking 10 minutes to just write all of that down and kind of get it out of your head and on paper can be really, really like helpful and cleansing so that you can go into your next task with the knowledge that you can come back to that and you've captured the key things. But if you don't do that, you'll find yourself just, it will be bubbling around in your head and you'll find yourself distracted in other things. So I think that's a really good piece of advice and a good skill to develop early, protecting your own time a little bit. It can be hard, but you know, if you start doing it at the start of your career, like it really will be a good habit to get into.
Could I just go back to something that you said about, I think it was point two, about giving yourself some space. So if you start a new job and everybody looks to the first 100 days as to what actions you should take, have you got any advice for any of our listeners about how they might navigate that kind of question in a job interview when they're looking to be interviewed for a role which might be their first time management role, and the employer is saying, well, what would you hope to achieve in your first 100 days here?
That's a very common interview question, isn't it? I've asked it myself many times, I have to say. And I think there you needed to be, you know, think honestly about the relationship between the business progress that you need to make. But I think it's also, it would be for me, and a really impressive answer would be talking about the interpersonal progress that you need to make in the first 100 days as well. So, you know, I think, yes, of course, there are business, you know, imperatives that you have to recognize. You have to obviously make sure that the person who's interviewing you is aware, you know about that, and you've got some ideas about what you would do. But I've never interviewed anybody for a management role who's also said, I'd like to spend time getting to know my colleagues. I'd like to spend time building trust with them. You know, I'd find that incredibly impressive now if someone said that to me. What do you think, Nancy?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you said it exactly right. Of course, there will be, you know, some practical things that you'll want to say that you'd like to achieve. But I think, you know, showing that you're aware that building relationships, building trust is part of your role as well, would set you apart as someone who understands management in a more holistic way.
Yes.
And often with early career managers, we don't necessarily see that. It's a bit of a transition for people. They often think, oh, well, I'll just be doing the same job, but with a bit more responsibility. And I think, you know, if you could demonstrate that you understand that it's more than that, and that there will be different things that you need to do and different, you know, relationships that you need to build, that would be a super impressive answer for me too. Yeah.
And that goes back to the first of our tips about management being a skill, being a thing in its own right, not just, you know, an add-on because you're a good publicist. You know, that's where we fundamentally come in management and publishing.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very useful element of training that you're both giving, and I look forward to seeing some great things through management in publishing. Where can we find out more about what you're doing as management in publishing?
So our website is now live. It's managementinpublishing.co.uk, and you can contact us through the website if you have any specific sort of questions or requirements or whatever, we're very happy to chat to people if they like to just learn a bit more about us, or sign up to one of our courses, either with the Publishing Training Centre or with ALPS. If you're members of ALPS, you'll get discounts on the ALPS course, the Publishing Training Centre, obviously many of you will know about. But yeah, we're also very open, as I say, to just talking to people if they've got specific needs, because we do offer one-to-one support as well. So yeah, we'd love to hear from you. And we, one of the things that Claire and I think I can speak for both of us, really enjoy about what we do is working with early career managers, because yes, we're consistently impressed by how committed and how seriously they take their new responsibilities and how much they want to be good at it, not just for themselves but for their team. And that's a really lovely thing, and if we can support and help those people to sort of achieve that, then I think we both feel that we're doing something really worthwhile.
That's a really good point to end on. Thank you both for joining us. You can find out more, as I said, at managementinpublishing.co.uk, or the training course that I know that they run for the Publishing Training Centre is publishingtrainingcentre.co.uk. And on Twitter, you'll find Nancy at Umbrella Data and Claire Gris Taylor at Claire GT. That's Claire without an I. Thank you both for joining us. And if you're stuck in a career situation that you'd rather not be in, whether it's dealing with something like work-related stress or unemployment, or you're just stuck in a prolonged job search, then my email, as always, is suzanne@bookcareers.com. Now it is your opportunity to join in the live discussion. You can find us across social media using the hashtag BookCareers, or on Twitter at BookCareers, or me personally, Suzanne Collier. Or visit our own platform at bookcareers.com/live. Thank you for listening. May you all be doing a job you love and being paid the salary that you so richly deserve.